going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
All right, we are back. Thompson to Clark. Giants did not have, at least the week didn't start out the best. Right. Is that their first three-game losing streak of the season?
I think it is. Yeah, I think they had a two-gamer. But yeah, I think it's mostly been three-game losing streaks.
They lose two in San Diego, which not great, because that's a team that you want to show that you can beat, because San Diego is really good, and they're right in front of them in the standings. And then we thought, okay, you have Colorado. You know, 3 of 4 is kind of the minimum. Sweep is what you want, because they're just a really bad team. And it looks like the Giants were going to start out well. Verlander had another good start, and then it just kind of got away from them, and they did end up losing Friday night, but they won, or Thursday night, but they won Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So they had an even week. And now they're in Chicago, and I know that, what is it? 2-2 still in Chicago.
Now it's 4-2 now. Dansby Swanson, man, just got a 2 RBI single. So Landon Roop's getting touched around a little bit again. And we're starting to see the possibility of some openings in the starting rotation.
Yeah. That's something that I think we're going to keep an eye on, because the big news coming out of the weekend was that Kyle Harrison is on his way back up. Mm-hmm. And you and I were both trying to figure out, okay, what does that mean? Is he just going to be in the bullpen? We saw that his velocity was way, way up, back into the upper 90s, which I think it was Susan Slusser had an article about it, which he attributes to strengthening his shoulder, battling back from injuries last season, plus when he was ill. And so he figured out some things and just thinks that his shoulder is stronger, and he was throwing in the upper 90s. So he is up. We'll talk about this guy in a little bit, but Bird Dog, my guy Bird Dog, Birdsong, he's still killing it. 18 innings, and I think he's only given up 2 earned runs in those 18 innings. And now you have the back end of the Giants rotation not doing as well as the beginning of the Giants rotation. Jordan Hicks, he pitched pretty good on Saturday. He did not get the win, because when he came out, they had given up the lead. Verlander's been pitching a lot better as well. They're not taking Verlander out of starting rotation. No way.
No.
But
you can't do that to a Hall of Famer who just signed a 1-year deal with your team. There's no way that one's.
The only way he's leaving the rotation is if he gets hurt. That's the only reason.
Right. And he's still pitching well. That's the thing. He's still pitching well enough. I mean, he should have 2 wins in the last 2 outings, 2 of the last 3 outings. But bullpen gave it up, and the bullpen doesn't give up a lot of games. So that was a bit frustrating. It's just one of those perfect storms. Like, this doesn't happen, and it happened twice. So I'm not banking on that to continue to happen.
So the other two spots, Jordan Hicks, and Jordan Hicks seems like the kind of pitcher that he kind of needs to know what his role is. Like, he has to focus. He's got to prepare. He's got to get his body right. And so that other position, that other slot is Landon Roop, who did a lot of long relieving or just relieving in general last year. And his ERA, as of right now, because of today's game, he's given up four runs, is over five. So you look at kind of how now you have Birdsong and you have Harrison both kind of ready and available. If they believe Landon Roop has to figure some things out to get back to what he was in the first few starts of the season, you have that flexibility. And it's not like, you know, Landon Roop had to deal with this last year. He wants to start. Everyone wants to start. But like the proof is in the pudding right now. And I think that is a possibility. Harrison, Birdsong, either of those guys, you could just pop right into the rotation if need be. And if not, and if Roop figures this out, then you have two lightning arms in the bullpen, which just enhances that bullpen, which has already been so good this year so far. And Lou Trevino is the one who got taken off of the... So technically he got DFA'd. Is that what the story was for Lou?
Yeah, he got DFA'd. Yeah.
But he was, you know, nice story to kind of come back after the time away. And he hopefully showed enough to where he could latch on somewhere else. Then if he clears waivers, I'm sure the Giants would accept him back and he could go pitch in the minors until they need him again. Because, you know, they're always going to need the possibility of arms. So where do you sit with the Harrison, Birdsong, Roop, that whole thing? What would you like to see the Giants do?
You know, it's tough because you can have Roop go to the bullpen and he's familiar with that role. He was there last year. May not be happy about it, but seeing him in shorter spurts through lineups might be better when you bring him in and all of a sudden you've been facing, you know, Harrison, who's throwing 97 miles an hour, and all of a sudden you get Roop coming in there and dropping those big, you know, hammer curveballs on you for an inning or two. Or maybe three. And that's kind of what you want to see at that point. Because here we are, Landon Roop, fifth inning. Actually, bottom of the fourth inning. So that's second, third time through the lineup, getting tapped around, gave up four runs. So I could see Roop coming out and somebody like Birdsong coming in. The Jordan Hicks thing is tough. Because he's a he's an emotional dude. He came into this situation... And again, we've talked about this before on this show. I don't have a problem with it. I think Buster Posey could say, look, I didn't sign you as a starter. Obviously, you're not going to word it that way, but you could say the previous regime had that commitment to you, and that's how it went. Yes, Bob Melvin was the manager at the time, but we're mixing things up. We need you in the bullpen. We need you in the back end. We need you throwing, you know, 100, 101 miles an hour out of your butt in the seventh or eighth inning. That's what we need right now. And then you've got Birdsong and Harrison in there. But then where do you go from there? And you still have guys throwing pretty decent in the minors in AAA. You've got Wisenhunt. You've got Black. You've got Seymour. So you've got guys who are starting to build up again. But then your safety net has now gone down to Roop. That's mm-hmm. your safety net at that point. So if one of those guys fails miserably and just has a really tough time in the rotation, then you go to Landon Roop, put that guy back in the bullpen, and you go from there. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's very tricky. But I would say at this point, Hayden Birdsong has absolutely earned his way into the starting rotation. Would love to see what he can do through six innings, seven innings. Is he that type of pitcher? We don't know. Is he the type of pitcher who can come in and get you through the lineup once, one and a half times, maybe twice, and then that's it? We don't know. We have to see it. So I think we're getting to the point of the season where we're the beginning of May. You're going to see a guy that's going to need a break in the rotation. And this may be it for Roop. I mean, again, four runs in four innings so far. So could this be the one where they say, look, we need you to take a break from the rotation. Your next time out of the bullpen, it's going to be two or three innings. That's going to be it. And it's going to be great. And you're going to help us, you know, bridge the gap in a game. And then maybe the next time, you know, we want to see what Birdsong can do. for mm-hmm. 6 or 7 innings. So maybe mm-hmm. the next time your time comes through the rotation, then we pop you back in. I think you can have those conversations. Give the guy a mental break. Look, you know, it's his first time in a rotation in the majors, came firing out of the gate, still has good metrics on all of his stuff. But he may just need a mental break. Or do you go the old school approach and say, work through it, man. Just work through it. But with guys knocking on the door and ready to kick it in, it's hard to say work through it when the fans are like, you know, we're like, hey, there's these two other guys throwing some gas. So
I want to see Harrison. Like, I don't know if he's going to pitch today. It would be crazy for him to get called up and yeah. immediately thrown in the mix in Chicago.
I think he just threw a couple of days ago, so I don't think we're going to see him till maybe tomorrow or the next day. But they did bring him up because the Cubs have a ton of left-handers. So that's another reason they brought him up, because now you have two left-handers in the bullpen.
Yeah, Eric Miller and Cal Harrison both throwing some pretty nasty stuff, so that should be fun to watch.
Yeah.
So I guess now that we know, we've seen 30-ish some odd baseball games, and we know the Giants are going to compete. And we've said it ad nauseum that the thing that holds them back from being in the upper echelon is just an inconsistent offense.
Yeah.
Now that we know that they can play quality baseball, the next step to me is like competing against these teams that are in the same echelon as them, like the Cubs. Like going into Wrigley, expecting them to take 2 out of 3 from the Cubs, who are, I think they're still the best offensive team in all of baseball.
They are.
That's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. Now they have the pitching to where, you know, they can compete with the Cubs, but you do want to see that next level, which is why the San Diego series was a little bit disappointing. They didn't get blown out of the water. San Diego just had some more timely ABs than the Giants did and ended up winning 2 semi-close games. Both of those, by the way, ending up with Pat Bailey at the plate to end the game, which at that point you're like, maybe if we go into extras, we just go with another catcher. Could we get someone else to hit in that position?
Yeah, right.
Considering he's the, you and I were talking, he's the only guy in the lineup, I think, under 200, because Matos got over 200 today with his home run. So yeah. That is like the next step. I want to see them go toe-to-toe with these good teams. They've not yet played the Dodgers. Dodgers are still the best team in the West. The Padres are playing really good baseball, and the Giants are right there. But I think there's some of the, you know, a lot of us and the fan base kind of goes, okay, we like that they play solid baseball. We don't believe that they're better than those two teams in front of them because they haven't shown us yet. And I think it's a good opportunity. If you can, man, imagine if they were able to take 2 out of 3 from Chicago, they would kind of like, it would be one of the things where they're like ringing the bell, like, hey, baseball, like we're serious. Like,
yeah.
And that's what I want to see. That's the next step to me, is like, okay, they can play good baseball. They can beat up the teams that they're supposed to beat up on. Now, what about the really good teams? How do they play against those guys?
Right. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's kind of what this series is. Go in there. And if the Giants could take 2 out of 3, I mean, you kind of show them, hey, we're here. And the beginning of the season wasn't necessarily a fluke. You know, and even if they do lose 2 out of 3 in this series, I mean, or God forbid get swept, but I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think the Giants are able to pull off one game in the series, at least possibly two, but either way, you got to get out of there and you have to play the series like you played against the Padres. Like you said, I mean, that's kind of, you'd have to show that you can go to toe to toe. The Cubs are, their bullpen is awful. So if you can get their starters out of there, their bullpen is like 22nd in the league right now in ERA, and the Giants have the second best bullpen in all of the majors. So if you can get this game, keep this game close into late innings, the Giants have an advantage there. Right now it's a 4-2 ball game, down by 2 in the fifth inning, bottom of the fifth. Roop got two quick outs and, you know, 1-2 on the next batter. So if he can get out of there and the Giants could get the bats back in their hands and start making some noise, you know, that's the kind of games that the Giants play this year. They play close games. They play bullpen games late, you know, with their fantastic bullpen, and they score runs late, and they have timely hits with two outs late in ball games. It's just kind of, you know, how this team is, and that's what we're going to see all season long, and good defense. Unfortunately, a Chapman error kind of opened the door a little bit in the fourth inning for the Cubs to score a couple of runs. And again, rarity, you got to look at the outliers. You see that and you go, well, that's not a norm. You take everything else that Chapman is, and he's saved you how many ball games. And then this one just kind of made it a tough one. And that's, as I speak there, that's a shot deep to right, but there's a lot of wind. So Jung-Hoo Lee was able to track it down, but yeah, it's a windy day. The wind is keeping the ball in the yard, even though there have been two home runs. But, you know, going to be tight. These are just going to be tight, tight ball games for the Giants going forward. They didn't, you know, get to 22 wins by luck. There is some luck when it comes down to it. But for the most part, when you're playing tight games, you're learning to play tight games and you're learning to win these close games as well.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some of the other items going on. So, like always, we just ask that if you are enjoying this show, subscribe on YouTube if you're watching on video. It would be awesome for us. And if you're listening on audio, subscribing to the feed, the BSPN feed. And if you're really feeling gracious, send us a review on Apple Pods if you can. Yeah. So Harrison is the big news, but also other news that came out today is that Encarnacion is kind of like, you know, he is on his way to getting back, and there's a thought that he will be able to be back within what is it, a little bit over 2 weeks, I guess 2.5 weeks, which is where his 60-day DL stint ends. So that's another right-handed bat that you were kind of depending on. And then you and I were starting to think, because, you know, we're thinking in roster, in 40-man roster.
Yeah.
Who's the one that's kind of getting a little nervous about, man, I better hit like 3 home runs before this dude gets back or else. The person that I thought immediately was VR, just because of what happened in spring training.
It's gonna have to be VR, you know, because if there wasn't an injury to Schmidt, if there wasn't an injury to Fitzgerald, it might be a little bit tighter. He might be leaning at that point towards Schmidt or Matos even, because Gerard can play outfield, not the best outfielder. You don't want to stick him in right field. You don't want to stick him in left field if you don't have to, but he can play some first base. So having an abundance of first basemen, especially three right-handed first basemen, also two of them are, you know, DHs basically in Encarnacion and Wilmer. So yeah, at that point, I think it would have to be VR. He's been playing decently. This hasn't had many chances, but I think it's going to take a lot of at bats away from Wilmer, which is fine. Wilmer, you know, had a fantastic start to the season. But then after that just kind of has fizzled out. He needs a little bit of a break. You get Encarnacion in there, who just has massive power off the bat. But again, did the injury to the wrist, is it going to sap any of that? We don't know. You know, that there's a lot to see in the rehab starts. And you can have up to what, 7 days of rehab games or more than that, I think it is. I'm not sure exactly what the rule is, but you can only go like 7 to 10 or something like that. And then you've got to either put them back on the active roster or send them down, do whatever you're going to do. But yeah, be interesting to see a lot of roster. And again, anything can happen in the next week. We know that. We've seen that, injuries and everything else happen. So
yeah, totally. So we have a couple of awards that we're giving out on the pitching and the hitting side at the monthly awards. So we just finished April. We are in May. So we're going to do some hitting and pitching month of April awards. But before we do that, we should talk about the player who was our player of the week this week. Now, there were some pretty good ones to choose from. Obviously, you know, Logan Webb kind of getting back on the horse after a rough outing in San Diego, then shutting it down when you know, like Ace does on Sunday. Some hitting stars of the week, Matt Chapman hitting a grand slam. There were a couple guys, Elio Ramos hit two jacks. But who is your player of the week? And let's play the sound effect here.
I had to roll with our player of the week, the guy who's heating up, the guy we gave the largest contract in San Francisco Giants history to, Willy Adames. We're saying his name as player of the week, finally, after what, 5-6 weeks. Happy to announce that his walk rate this week, his walk rate all season long has actually been fairly decent. But this week, 16% walk rate, only a 20% K rate, 272 WRC plus, three home runs, four runs driven in, a stolen base, six runs scored, still doing things defensively that make us happy. You know, he's one of those shortstops where he's an offensive shortstop, but he's not offensive to watch playing shortstop, if that makes sense. You know, he makes some great plays and he doesn't, you know, botch too many easy plays. So, yeah, we got to go with Willy Adames this week. He had a 0.5 WAR, 381 batting average. Yeah, there were some good performances. Montas had a good week. Ramos had a good week. Yaz had a good week. But that guy, you give him that much money and you were just waiting for that bat to come around, because I had a conversation with one of our friends, Nick Martinez, you know, after Thursday night's game against the Rockies. He goes, here it is. The team's coming back to earth. The offense is terrible. This and that. I said, well, Adames hasn't even started hitting yet. I said, we have young arms we could trade for a bat. I trust Buster when it comes to that type of stuff. You've also got Encarnacion, who's getting fairly close. We didn't know how close, you know, back on Thursday when I was having this discussion with him. Mm-hmm. But so seeing Adames starting to hit again, you feel like in a ball game like this, in a 4-2 ball game against the Cubs, after the week he had, if he comes up in a key situation, he could have a fantastic at bat that decides the game. So, and poor Wilmer just grounded into a double play. Of course, to end the inning still 4-2, going to the bottom of the sixth.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Okay, so now before we get to our monthly awards here, I wanted to take a look at, you know, like we usually do, just kind of look at the future schedule of, you know, where we're going here. So, you know, this game, is still competitive. They could come back and win this game, but they have an interesting week here. So obviously the Cubbies are playing some really, really good baseball, but you rarely see the Cubs Twins week.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun. It's pretty fun to go from the Cubs, then you go, oh yeah, the Twins, let's go play the Twins. So currently the Twins are they are not playing, you know, they're under 500, they're 15 and 20. They are positive in the run scoring differential, so some of that might just be some tough luck there. They don't score runs in bunches either, and very much score less runs than the Giants do. So if I think the Giants offense is bad, then actually the entire AL Central outside of the Tigers, they can't score runs to save their lives. Right. But, you know, so this could bode well for the Giants going into Minnesota, playing some low scoring games, which is the flip side of the series against Chicago, because Chicago is the opposite. They are the highest scoring team. So I'm sure the pitching staff is just going to be like, oh man, we just got to get through this Chicago series. And then, you know, once we get to Minnesota, it'll be a lot lighter. This is so funny. So Chicago, they have scored 208 runs this year so far. So let me do some quick calculator math. So they score per game, they score 5.94 runs per game. Jeez. Now the Minnesota Twins, they score on average 3.8 runs per game. Mm. And the Giants are kind of in the middle. So that's where both teams are. So interesting kind of up and down series for the Giants. And if they could take two from Chicago, then maybe they do come back on a winning road trip. But that would have been like a fun one to, if you were like, you know, we always talk about this when we're retired. We're going to go to Wrigley for a few. Then we're going to go, they still call it Target Field.
I'm not sure if they do or not, but yeah, that's a fun ballpark. I've always wanted to go to Minnesota because it just kind of seems like one of those fun cities. Birdsong just gave up a solo shot.
Oh no! Right when we were singing his praises.
I know, man. Carson Kelly, the catcher of the century, I guess. That guy has got like 8 home runs already this year. Guy's insane. He plays like plays 2 out of every 3 games usually too. He's not the guy who's behind the dish, you know, like a Patrick Bailey who's in there a lot. But
right.
Cranking home runs. But yeah, Minnesota would be a really fun place. Chicago, of course, would be awesome. But Minnesota, one of those places I've always wanted to go to. Now, if I go there, though, if we go there, I want it to be like July or August. I don't know about May, because like right now in Chicago, it's, you know, 50 degrees with a wind chill factor, bringing it down to like 45. I get enough of that here at home. So I don't like this weekend. I think it was, I don't think we got out of like 52 degrees all weekend long. So,
okay. So let's get to the gimmick of the show this week, which was our monthly players here, our monthly players of the month. So explain what you wanted to do with these awards and then we'll get to them.
Yeah. What we're going to do the first show of every month, we're going to go back and look at the previous month and we're going to flip flop. So I'm doing position players this week or this month. You're doing pitchers this month. Mm-hmm. And then we'll flip flop those next month. But we're each going to pick for our respective slots. I'm going to pick a position player MVP and an unsung hero position player. And you're going to do the same on the pitcher side. Just kind of a little fun thing we can look back. We're going to keep a chart on it too. And then maybe have a fun little graphic at the end of the season. Just kind of see who carried the team for the most part. And starting off, I decided it was a tough one because when you look at a whole month, when you're doing player of the week, it's a little bit easier. You can kind of see you've got all the games in your mind. You can see what happened. You remember exactly what happened. Looking back on the last month, you're relying on stats and your memory and everything else. I got to give the and we did a couple games in March as well. So, yes. So this is March and April combined, because there are only what, three or four games, I think, in March.
Right.
So I had to give the MVP, the position player MVP of March, April is going to Wilmer Flores. And the reason is because the Giants were what, 19-12 in March and April. And I would think probably 7 or 8 of those wins can be attributed to some Wilmer Flores late heroics, and also giving them, you know, giving the team a lead early in ball games as well. So Wilmer Flores, I got to go with the MVP on that one for March and April. Do you want to flip flop? Do you want to do a pitcher MVP first and then we'll come back to me?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one this for me is pretty easy. I think you just have to go Webb, at least right now. He's the most consistent. Yeah, and he hasn't been perfect either, but right. He's given them a chance to win every time that he's taken the ball, even in his bad outings. Like, he's still battling. He's still throwing deep into the game. And one thing in looking at this, the thing that I found really interesting is his batting average against on balls in play was actually really high. So his batting average is on ball in play, 0.365. So that means that when the hitters were actually putting bat on ball, they were hitting for a high average. Now, you can take this, there's a couple of ways to look at this, and we would have to kind of look at a whole spread of the field where these balls were, you know, were these no doubters in the gap, or were these like seeing eye base hits? But what that kind of tells me is maybe he was a little unlucky with where the placement of some of these hits were. And you would think that it would probably go down. I don't know what his batting averages on balls in play historically is, but that tells me that he probably dealt with some tough luck. So amidst that, I thought he pitched fairly well. So for the month of March/April, the 2 months combined, 7 starts, 2.83 ERA, 3-2 is his record, 41.1 innings pitched, 50 strikeouts, which is pretty nice. He's not really a strikeout guy, but he's punching more than one an inning out so far in this young season. 10.9 strikeouts per nine so far. So that's great. Like, if he pitches like that for the entire season, he's probably a Cy Young candidate for one. Now, you know, You don't expect him to be that consistent, but he's just going to give the Giants a chance to compete whenever he's on the mound, which is what you and I are like, you know, that's what we care about the most, is just have a shot to win the game and then see what happens. So Logan Webb is my guy.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. Giants are kicking the ball around this inning. Of course, we were singing the praise of the defense, and Willie Adames had a tailor-made double play right at him, and he threw the ball to second base and threw it into right field.
So, oh man.
Yeah, just rough. And then ground ball to Chapman and gobbled him up, and now the bases are loaded with nobody out for poor Birdsong. I realize I didn't give too many numbers for Wilmer to back up my MVP for March and April, but he's still, just to tell you, he still has enough RBIs to put him in third.
Yeah,
in the majors and RBI. So that tells you, I mean, even five, six days into May, he had such a monster March and April to carry him to that point. But, you know, it's one of those things too. Yeah, I understand his batting average wasn't massive. I think his WRC plus in the first month. So there's only two batters in all of the major leagues with WRC pluses in the top 20 under 100, and 100 is average. And it was Wilmer at 97, just under average, and then Brandon Nimmo at 84. Wilmer's
because of that one game where he had like 9 RBIs.
Yeah, exactly. But still, when you still look at the overall, you're not impressed with much of what Wilmer did in the first,
right,
you know, month of the season. 22.2 K percentage, 229 batting average, 422 slug. Again, WRC plus of 97, a WAR of 0.1, an F WAR of 0.1. Walk percentage was only 6%, but he did have 7 home runs, which still leads the team. And the other important thing Wilmer did, he stole a base in April. So that's one thing that goes towards his track record. And we got a bases loaded walk. Giants are down 6-2 now. What is going on? Wheels are falling. Get it all out now.
Get Lou Trevino back so he can finish up this game.
Yeah, we don't want to hurt Birdsong's ERA, although I don't know what the ERA is going to look like because you got a couple of errors this inning, so it's going to be...
Chapman with 2 errors tonight. That's insane.
Did they give Chapman an error on that?
Both of them, I think.
I don't see the box score. Jeez. So they have three errors tonight. And you got... Bell Bivens DeVoe warming up in the pen right now. So that's good. So the other thing we're going to do now is I'm going to pick a position player, unsung hero MVP. And that is going to be, and you're going to be shocked because again, these numbers were terrible, but we're not talking about numbers. We're talking about intangibles. Mm-hmm. I had to go with Willy Adames. The addition of Willy Adames to this team, what he's brought to the clubhouse, what he's brought to the dugout. He's the first one out of the dugout when a home run is hit. He's running up and down in front of the dugout, giving high fives when runs are scored. He's just starting to heat up now. He's obviously, you know, in contention and making a run for MVP of May for the Giants. So I had to go with Willy Adames because, again, that addition and having a guy out there who's going to play every day, who's going to bring that attitude, that fun attitude, we love to see it. And so that's what the unsung MVP is going to be about. There were a bunch of guys that were in contention. Jung-Hoo Lee could have been one of them because, again, having him back is awesome. You know, I could have gone with Yaz because, again, his glove in right field and everything that he does. But I had to give it to the newcomer, the guy who's injected this team with fun. And we talked about that all offseason. We want to see a fun baseball team. And obviously, that's what we've got. We've gotten so far as a fun baseball team to watch. So,
yes, we do. So for mine, I just wanted to give a little bit of credit to Robbie Ray, who is not my pick for either of the two awards, but Robbie Ray is I believe he is 4-0, which, you know, how much importance you put on record is kind of up to you. Right. The one thing that he's not doing as well as Logan Webb is, you know, he's just walking more folks, and so the walks, strikeout per walk is not as impressive as Logan Webb's. But the guy, for a number two starter and for a guy who's, you know, a year and a half away from Tommy John or whatever, just having a really, really good start to this season, he's an old guy too. Like, he's not a young dude. Yeah. So for him to go out and compete, he went 7 innings the other night. Like, I just he's another one where you're like, okay, when Robbie Ray is on the mound, you sort of feel like, if you score a couple runs here, you have a chance to win the baseball game. So I like that feeling when he takes the ball. So it's a really cool feeling to have two guys that are like that. Now, if Verlander, you know, if he stays consistent, then maybe we have three solid vets and then we don't have to worry as much. And we let the rookies and the young guys, you know, if they're going to be inconsistent, so be it, because our vets are going to be the consistent guys. Okay, so my real unsung hero, unfortunate, not the best marketing of one Hayden Birdsong is he's going through what it seems like hell.
Well, it is for March and April though. So it does. So today doesn't matter. It's for March and April.
Yeah, actually, he does have three earned runs on his record right now for this bottom of the sixth inning. So unfortunate for him. Okay, but if we're just looking at March and April, why is Hayden Birdsong kind of the unsung hero? Well, it's because of some of the things that we already said, which is that his role is as the long man, and he has to come in, a lot of times he's coming in when there's not a lot on the line, but he's actually pitched some when there has been stuff on the line as well, where Melvin just like sticks with him. It's like, why do I bring in a closer? This kid is like dominating the second half of this baseball game. So for March and April, he had 7 appearances, 16 innings. So he's thrown a little bit over 2 innings per appearance. He'd only given up 11 hits and 6 walks. So his whip is a very nifty 1.06. And he's got 18 strikeouts. So he's also striking out a lot of batters. I just think when you see somebody like this now, you know, we've had some strong young pitchers in the last 10 years with the Giants, even going back to the last 15 years. I guess even before, is Lincecum that long ago? Oh, my God. Lincecum's rookie year was 18 years ago. That's insane.
Yeah. Somebody had posted, can't remember who it was. Maybe John Boy Media had posted something about, who are your pitchers of the decades? And then I started thinking, well, Lincecum, 2010s. And I was like, no, wait, he came up in 7, right?
Yeah.
And so he pitched, not enough to get pitcher of the 2000s and not enough to get the pitcher of the 2010s.
Yeah, 2008, 2009, and 2011 were his three best seasons. And they were, if you look at the back of his baseball card, those three seasons are fantastic. And then the other seasons are like just different. They're just like a different guy in a sense.
Oh, yeah.
So we've seen him. We've seen just since, let's say, 2006, Matt Cain, 2007, Tim Lincecum, 2010 and 11, Madison Bumgarner. So we've seen what real young studs look like. And when Hayden Birdsong takes the ball, I'm like, gosh, he feels a lot like how you would feel when those guys would take the ball early in their career, which is sort of like he's got the ability to just go no hit for as long as he is. And then he has the ability to do what happens today, which is, possibly struggle too. But he's the guy because he's unsung. I don't think we didn't know if he was going to even make the team out of camp because it was, were they going to keep the young kid? And they did. And he's been great now because of this first month of the season. You almost expect more out of him. It's like, oh, well, now he's got to keep doing this or else, he set the tone for himself and he needs to keep pitching this way. And, we want to throw him in as the number 5. So we want to give him all the responsibility. So let's go, man.
Yeah, it's tough too because baseball is one of those games. It's 162 games. Football is, you're playing on the same size field. You're playing on kind of the same type of turf. You're either playing in cold weather or sweltering hot at the beginning of the season, but you're also playing in domes and all kinds of other stuff. So your quarterbacks and your receivers and your running backs, your guys who put up the numbers, they're going to have their consistent numbers. That's just what they're going to do. You're going to have one game here, one game there where they're a little bit off. Baseball, you've got different dimension ballparks. You're on the road in Chicago in 50 degrees with wind chill factor today. Yesterday, you were playing at home in like 70 degree weather. It was really nice. So you're going to have ups and downs, and that's why you have an earned run average. That's why you have a batting average. I mean, that's pretty much how all of those things work. So, yeah, he got blown up today, and base hit, and another 2 runs come in. So that's another 2 runs to go, get pinned on him. But I have no doubt after seeing he has a good enough track record this season for us to say we know what he can do. And he is a dog, man. I mean, if there was a little conversation when Melvin came out to get him earlier, and there was a conversation. It was a couple of sentences long. They were, you know, talking back and forth, not in a bad way, but it looked like it was maybe some positive things were said. Kind of perked up Birdsong a little bit. So I'm kind of curious to see if anybody's going to ask Bob Melvin what was talked about after that, after he pulled him. But yeah, I mean, we going into spring training, we knew, hey, you're going to get in that fifth spot, Birdsong, Roop, or Harrison. And you got Roop and you got Birdsong in the pen and you got Harrison up now. So now you got all three of those guys there. But Birdsong really earned it that first, month and a half as being the unsung guy. Cause yeah, having a guy, and we talk about all the time on the show, having a guy that can come in and give you three innings. He didn't do it today, but again, this is May and it's in Chicago and it's damn cold, but having a guy that can come in and give you those three innings when you need to bridge it to the back end of the bullpen, that's important. That's huge to have something like that. And the Giants have three guys that can do that right now. So it's kind of a luxury.
All right. A little bit of a shorter show today, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because we were able to hit all the things that we wanted to hit on. So hopefully, you know, this one might be a little lost. We may not be able to come back.
Yeah, it's a 9-2 ball game now in the sixth inning, but if we can get the wind to blow out.
Yeah. But, you know, they got two more shots. And then, like I said, you know, they have the Twins for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then they come home. And this is another great test for them, which is home for the D-backs. And the D-backs themselves, what is the D-backs record right now? Because the D-backs are behind us. Yet, you know, they're okay. They are giving up a lot more runs than the Giants are, which is kind of their problem. But they're also scoring a little bit more than the Giants. But 18 and 16 right now. So they're going to be in the mix. They're a good baseball team. But that'll be a good Giants to see them to come home for the D-backs. And then they get the A's. What are the A's even like right now? I have no idea.
They're actually not bad. They're kind of hanging in there. I think they were three games back. So
yeah, they're 16 and 19 playing at Sutter Health Ballpark.
Yeah.
Though their runs scored versus runs against is a minus 22 so far. Okay. Even though, but yeah, they're winning some games at least. Good for them.
Yeah.
All right. So Brad and I will be back next week. So for the rest of this week, as far as BSPN is concerned, I think Brian and I are going to try and record on Wednesday for the death lineup. The Warriors snuck out of that first round against the Rockets. Brad called it. He said the Rockets are choke artists when it comes to the playoffs.
Perennial losers is what I called them. you made it sound nice.
So
I said they still had that James Harden stink on them.
They do. You know? That is, but they're gonna be really, really good in the future. Oh, they need literally just need one player and they're gonna be really good. Warriors going to Minnesota, so they play Tuesday. Brian and I will try and come back on Wednesday and record on Wednesday because there's also lots of Valkyries news. They cut their second round draft pick, Cheyenne Sellers, which was a bit of a surprise. So Brian and I will dig into that. And they just also announced their a broadcast crew for when the season starts. They have a whole team of people that I don't really know very well. So I need to do my research on these folks.
And, now, when does the WNBA season start?
I think it's in 11 days.
Okay. So they're in preseason games right now?
They're in preseason games. Caitlin Clark drew some crazy number.
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, and then she drilled one from 40 feet. it was incredible.
That's awesome. So now, and the games will be broadcast on TV?
So here's what's interesting. I think they're going to be on our local affiliate, KPIX, which is the CBS affiliate, I think. But I'm not 100% sure because I just assumed they were going to be on NBC Sports Bay Area.
Yeah, sure.
I just assumed they need shows. Why not? But no, it looks like it's going to be on KPIX, but the way that
The way that the league does it is their league pass is very cheap. So okay. it's like 30 bucks for the whole year. So a lot of people watch that way. But yeah, for us in the Bay Area, I think it's, but KPX, but I'm sure more information will come out. Because I think they have a preseason game coming up really soon that hopefully will be televised. So,
oh yeah, here
all that stuff will be figured out.
KPIX Plus.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, KPIX Plus tomorrow night, May 6th, against the Los Angeles Sparks.
How do I even watch KPIX Plus?
I don't have no idea. And KMAX 31. That's going to be the second game. There's a ABC game coming up in June. ABC and ESPN Plus. There's okay, a Prime, Amazon Prime K-Max, game.
KMAX is Sacramento.
Okay. And there's Ion. There's a game on Ion.
Yeah, they have a few different networks that televise the Valkyrie or the WNBA. They're kind of okay. Spread out a little bit. But so KPIX nice. Plus might be 44 cable 12. I don't know. I'm so confused about how how broadcast television works these days, because and I have Hulu TV and we don't have to tune in to anything. It just feeds
you turn it on and wherever the Giants game is, it'll just show you Giants versus Cubs. You click on it. It could be ESPN, it could be, you know, Fox, it could be whatever it is, and it'll take you directly to it, which is, you know, super nice. So yeah, I'm so lost on Bay Area broadcast TV anymore. I couldn't even tell you who is where.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back next week, crossing our fingers for a winning week, but I'd probably be cool with a 500 week as well.
Yeah.
For the Giants. Sure. Just stay
on the road.
Yeah, stay in the mix. Stay in that top three with the Padres and the Dodgers, and let the chips fall. All right, for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.